The Geek Cave, brought to you by Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from your past so you can look rad today. Gamefly, video games delivered. And GameStop, power to the players. Hey nerds, we understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of the Geek Cave Podcast Comics segment. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Chad.
You know, if 2020 was a comic book character, it would be the Joker. And all my plans this year would be Jason Todd. Welcome to comics.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, how we doing?
Well, better than you, I guess.
And better than Jason Todd.
I don't know. Nowadays, he seems to have his life, you know, turned around and whatever, but... Yeah, back in the day, yeah.
I mean, he had flings with Talia al Ghul and Starfire, so he's doing okay now.
Well, yeah, now.
He's doing better than the folks at DC Comics.
Ooh, nice segue.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm good for something. So, we're taping this late August. Earlier this month, Warner Media went through and just ran Hulkamania on their payroll. They cut a bunch of folks at DC, including some folks that, I mean, I think all of DC Universe is just gone now. They're putting all those shows on HBO Max, but
I still can't see it. Yay.
Yay. Well, you can if you use less than savory means. Jim Lee remains CCO, but here are some of the people that were fired. Editor-in-Chief Bob Harris, Senior VP of Publishing Strategy Hank Canals, VP of Marketing and Creative Services Jonah Wieland, who I believe we went through to get an interview at one point with Jeff King, who was writing Convergence at the time. Mm-hmm. VP Global Publishing Initiatives and Digital Strategy Bobby Chase, Senior Story Editor Brian Cunningham, Executive Editor Mark Doyle. He specifically was in charge of the Black Label graphic novels.
Uh-huh.
So, basically a third of DC's editorial staff laid off.
Man.
It's woof. Yeah. Oh, also, DC Direct, their in-house merchandise wing, is gone now.
Yeah, not happy about that.
22 years. I absolutely loved the DC Direct stuff, and they say, well, you know, Warner Brothers Consumer Products is going to take a more active role in merchandising, which... Okay, but still, DC Direct stuff was legit. If I wanted something that was not a Batman figure, I would go to DC Direct.
But why would you want anything that's not a Batman figure?
All I'm saying is all my Walmart happens to know of is Marvel has all these characters, and then there's Batman.
Marvel has all these characters?
Well, no, Marvel has, you know, like Spider-Man and the X-Men and blah, blah, blah. They've got like wave after wave of Marvel toys.
For a second there, I thought you were like, Marvel has all these wonderful characters, but I only see Batman. I'm like, Darren, are you having a stroke?
No, not today.
It's the day still young.
Check back tomorrow.
The day is young and I'm old enough, but so far, so good.
Be fair.
That sucks. I mean, I get it. I get it. Times are tough. And I guess I'm happier that they're cutting costs on the higher end of the scale than cutting the middle folks or the grunt work people.
The peons.
Yeah, but still, it sucks.
Yeah, but like you said, it could be worse. Marvel rebooting Iron Man again We've got that up on our social media sites and probably at deepcavepodcast.com. I don't care. Probably. That's why I'm not talking much about it. Yeah, I don't care, so I'm not talking much about it. Yeah, when it comes to DC fandom, unfortunately, but unsurprisingly, there wasn't a lot to talk about comic-wise. DC and Warner Brothers really focusing on video games and movies. We'll get into those in the next couple of segments. But one big news is that DC is reviving Milestone Comics. That's the comic line that started out back in 1993. And primarily featured heroes of color. That's where we got Static, you know, Virgil Hawkins, Static Shock. And they also dropped a little bit of details about how there's a digital comic series for Static coming in next year, as well as a possible live-action Static Shock movie. Also, Jim Lee, during that panel, mentioned that there's work with John Ridley about a new Batman book where there's and this is a quote from Ridley, a slightly greater than 47% chance that the Batman in his story will be a person of color. Of course, you can get all of the big news about DC fandom at geekcavepodcast.com.
Okay, then. Chad, do you have anything?
Bela Lugosi's back as Dracula.
Yay!
Yeah, Legendary Comics is apparently going to do a new graphic novel adaptation of Bram Stoker's Dracula, and they decided that the best person to play Dracula was Bela Lugosi.
I dig it.
So early October, unless 2020 continues on and, you know, it decides to skip October, which is objectively the best month.
Thank you.
And because, of course, 2020 would just skip October. Why wouldn't it? But October 6th, you can get... Maybe I'll finish Dracula this time.
So it's releasing October 6th.
Yep.
For those of you out there, that may or may not be the birthday of a certain comic book aficionado in the Geek Cave. So gift ideas, wink.
Darren, I didn't know that you liked Dracula.
Well, I like the chocolate version.
Oh, cool. You know, that's really what makes Count Chocula, like, probably the second best cereal, is that he has a feudal title.
He really does, yeah.
This is true,
I mean,
yeah.
Captain Crunch is, of course, the best, because he has a military title.
How long before they finally promote him to Admiral?
No, probably not. I don't think it's actually a real thing. I think it's all, you know, honorific type stuff.
Ah, that makes sense.
You know, it's like getting a Doctor of Humane Letters. It means shit. But
and honestly, he's not Captain Crunch. It's Cap'n.
Yep. C-A-P apostrophe N.
Yeah. So he's a pirate.
Yes.
I'm good with that. Savvy.
That kind of makes the cereal even better now.
I mean, it plunders the roof of my mouth every time I eat it, so... So, Darren.
Yes.
Regale us with your review.
All right. So, as you know, us here at the Deep Cave Podcast are big fans of Hoopla, which is an app that allows you to download books, audiobooks, certain movies from your local library. You should check it out. We are not being paid for this in any way, although if Hoopla wants to throw a sponsorship at us, we wouldn't say no. But I picked up Astonishing Spider-Man and Wolverine through the Hoopla app. This is a 6-issue limited series. It ran between May of 2010 and May of 2011. So that era of kind of like when when Joss Whedon was doing the Astonishing X-Men run.
Ah, okay.
This book is great, folks. It involves time travel. It involves... Well, let me just tell you how it gets started. We start with Peter Parker in the middle of the Cretaceous era with a handmade telescope looking up and seeing the asteroid heading towards the Earth. And he goes to try to warn Logan, who happens to be leading a group of wolf people called the Small Folk, and they both blame each other for it. And then, you know, then they get jumped into another part of the time stream. It's a time travel story, y'all.
Yay!
This starts when they try to stop the orb. Justin, have you covered the orb in the long box?
No, I have not.
Okay, it's basically a big beefy dude, but his head is just a giant eyeball.
Okay, and I'm writing it down now.
So, they show up separately to try to stop a bank robbery that is being perpetrated by the orb. And, of course, both of them are like, ah, crap, not you, when they see the other, because they really don't like each other. One of the men who's pulling some stuff out of the bank vault has this bag of glowing diamonds. When the diamonds hit the ground, Wolverine, Spider-Man, and a random bank teller are sent back in time. Through all this, they jump to several different time periods, including, like I mentioned, the Cretaceous era, where Wolverine's so-called small folk pack end up evolving. And when we get to the far, far future, they see Wolverine as the Messiah because he taught them how to survive, and they somehow survived when Dr. Doom merged his consciousness with a planet and created a war world type thing. Eventually, the orb shows up to try to help them get to their proper time because, well, he's all like big and he looks kind of like Rambo, but still with an eyeball for a head now. And he's warning them that the Minutemen are hunting them through time to try to set everything right. He gets grabbed and dragged back to his current time, kicking and screaming. And this guy named the Tsar is the main antagonist. He's got a baseball bat that has all these diamonds. He's got a bedazzled baseball bat.
Nice.
A time bedazzled baseball bat. And he's got a little guy with him who I don't remember his name because it's only mentioned like once. But the little dude apparently knows every type of kung fu known to man or alien. So that combined with freezing time, they just kick the ever-loving crap out of Spider-Man and Wolverine. And just before they kill him, they're pulled to another point in time. Eventually, they have to take out the Dr. Doom planet. And they do so with, and I'm just going to tell you this verbatim. Spider-Man opens a box, revealing a gun with a bullet containing the Phoenix Force. Logan, who has been trying to avoid the veneration of the small folk as their messiah, knocks Spider-Man out, takes the gun, knowing that whoever uses it will be destroyed. He fires the Phoenix Force bullet, which destroys Planet Doom. Wolverine, however, is resurrected as the Phoenix.
Yes.
I apparently left out a spot that wasn't in the summary that I wrote down, but it is in the comic. Spidey is trying to revive a cosmic cube in the future to bring Wolverine back from the dead, because all that was left of Wolverine was a pile of bones, which Spidey has placed in a waste can next to his desk. You know, in case he needs them.
Yeah, of course. It's a fitting tribute to a fallen friend.
Eventually, Spidey is able to talk Wolverine down from destroying everyone as the Phoenix right before another time jump, and they go to each other's past.
Oh, great.
Wolverine ends up in a great homage to the Sam Raimi films. Wolverine ends up being an opponent for pro wrestling Spider-Man. complete with the outfit from the Raimi films and all that. Nice. Like the pro wrestling outfit. It's great. And he also gains insight. He kind of gets like a flash of what happens to Peter's Uncle Ben. And finally, Wolverine's like, okay, maybe I shouldn't be such a jerk to the kid. Meanwhile, right. Spider-Man is teleported to this cold, wintry area where he meets a young Logan. It's like the 1800s. It's right after he's killed his dad in the events of Wolverine Origin. And he's being hunted by his brother. And Spidey just happens to have like a bunch of meat strapped to him, because whoever's doing this time travel hijinks decides to have a little fun. And Spidey gets chased by wolves. And it's silly.
As you do, yes.
We come to find out that Mojo has been orchestrating everything. If you're not familiar with Mojo, go watch X-Men, the animated series. It's on Disney+.
The villain from the Powerpuff Girls?
No, not Mojo Jojo.
Mojo Jojo.
Mojo is essentially this futuristic alien. Think if Rush Limbaugh was into producing sensational TV.
All right. Adding Mojo to the list.
Well, that didn't take much. Rush Limbaugh and sensationalistic TV.
Okay. I'm not trying to be political, but like that kind of personality with... Like,
I'm just saying that your example was not a great leap of imagination.
Okay, all right. But you know that think you know like really hyper Jerry Springer type stuff. It's all about ratings and it's the far future and people love death and explosions and all that. And maybe we'll give Spider-Man a love interest and that's where the bank teller comes in. That they just grabbed at random. Eventually. Spidey and Wolverine are able to figure out what's going on. They make their way to Mojo. They make their way to Czar and little guy A. I don't remember his name. And they're able to successfully defeat them in a fight in a great moment where Czar is about to attack Wolverine with the bat. And Czar from the future shows up and he's like, dude, you better kill him now or else he's going to cut your hand off. What are you talking about? And then Wolverine cuts his hand off.
That's some serious Bill and Ted shit right there.
Yeah. Eventually, they end up being sent all the way to, like, the 18th century. They're living in the Wild West. Peter has developed this full-on relationship with the bank teller. They're super close. They end up finding the source of the time diamonds. And then the Minutemen show up and drag them all kicking and screaming back to their proper times. The bank teller does not remember any of this.
Of course.
Wolverine and Spider-Man do. They reach some kind of mutual understanding. And I jumped over it. During the Wild West part, there was a point where Spidey and Wolverine did a whole blood brother thing at Wolverine's insistence, and Spidey made it as awkward as humanly possible because that's what Spider-Man does.
Yes.
So are we just going to hold hands forever here? Because, you know, the blood's getting... I'm starting to feel a little dizzy. Shut up, Parker. Really good. I highly recommend it. It was fun. I would give it 9 time diamonds out of 10.
Good to know.
So that's Astonishing Spider-Man and Wolverine picked it up.
All right. any other news? Old or otherwise?
Nope.
Kent?
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Prepare yourself for Justin's long box. Yeah, baby. Extra long.
So last month, I talked about The League of Regrettable Superheroes, a book by John Morris. And there may have been some confusion with the names of the superheroes I was talking about, you know. Accidentally being compared to more popular superheroes. That's my bad. I'm sorry. So this month, I dove back into the book to find heroes who have absolutely no connection to any other hero, could not be misconstrued for any other character in comic book history. Shall we, gentlemen?
Yes.
Yep.
So... the first, and I use the term hero loosely, keep that in mind. The first hero I'm going to talk about is Dr. Hormone.
Spell that, please.
H-O-R-M-O-N-E.
That's better.
First appeared in Popular Comics number 54 in 1940. When we first meet him, he's an aging scientist who has spent his entire life studying the beneficial powers of hormones. He is rejuvenated on his deathbed by, quote, youth hormones and his Angstrom Ray machine. Now a spry 25-year-old. With his granddaughter Janie in tow, he brought the power of hormones to the world. Old men made young. Babies made fully grown, Boy Scouts turned into adult soldiers, an entire nation transformed into half-animal hybrids to defeat an invading army.
Wait a minute.
Don't bring logic in.
Hold up.
In his final adventure, he is joined by, quote, the Thinker, to help Texas, to help keep Texas free of Nazians, N-A-Z-I-A-N-S. I'm assuming it's Nazi Texans. they are brought back to the Thinker's headquarters where they sleep until needed again. They weren't. moving on.
Oh, God, there's more.
The Eye. First appeared in Keen Detective Funnies, number 12, in 1939. So, okay, we all know that Iron Man isn't actually made of iron, right?
Right.
Green Lantern isn't really a piece of camping equipment, right? So the Eye isn't really a living, speaking, disembodied, floating eye. Wrong! That's exactly what it was. It could fly, melt steel, appear and disappear at will, manipulate invisible forces, and was an all-seeing, all-observing Avenger. Yet he still needed help from humans to achieve his goals. He vanished just as quickly as he appeared, with no origin and no idea what happened to him. So, yeah. The Eye.
Wow.
Speed Centaur.
Is his name Skittles?
No. First appearing in Amazing Mystery Funnies, number 8, 1939. He's a centaur, and I'm too tired to come up with something clever. He's a centaur. Born to a mysterious city in the Arctic Circle, his entire civilization is wiped out by a massive earthquake, leaving him the only survivor. The now orphan, found by a kindly trapper and taken in, given the name Speed, he was raised to hate evil and injustice. On the trapper's deathbed, he sent him to nearby City of Rackets to clean it up. In addition to being a literal centaur, he was also a mental and physical giant who could fling boulders as if they were pebbles. He could also fly, don't ask, and move as fast as lightning, hence the name Speed. The only downside was that he couldn't use the more traditional means of a secret identity. You know, comb, you know, repart the hair, put on glasses. So he used a lifelike horse mask that covered the entire upper half of his body. Just a perfectly normal horse in an urban environment.
What?
Also, he lived in a cave. And finally, and this one is very near to my heart, Super Pro. First appearing in Super Pro number 1 in 1991. Most of these weird heroes are from small-time publishers. This guy was from Marvel.
I think I remember this.
Yes, the House of Ideas. The 90s were weird.
Oh, yeah.
Phil Grayfield was a promising NFL star. Unfortunately, he blew his knee saving a baby from a deadly fall. Good for him. Not good for the knee, but, you know, catching the baby. Now a reporter, he interviews a wealthy superfan about his collection. That's when flamethrower wielding vandals attempt to destroy the collection because comics. Phil is trapped under rubble and memorabilia, drenched in, quote, chemical foam, gasoline, plastics, and chemicals from old football films. The combination gives him superpowers. Donning a prototype football suit, he becomes Super Pro, defender of justice, and the NFL, apparently, because most of the adventures dealt with events that could take down the organization, such as a former player using his skills to commit crime, like a kicker who became a ninja assassin, or a high-tech villain with an instant replay gimmick.
Oh, man, I can't wait until he took now, on Captain Concussion.
Yeah. Now, I actually had this one. I had the first two issues. I think I got it in like a bundle pack. And it's as bad as it sounds. Oh, also Spider-Man was in the first issue.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So there's everything you never wanted to know about even more regrettable superheroes.
Oh my gosh. I remember Super Pro. I think I had the first I think I had that first issue. And I think after that I decided I shouldn't have bought this.
Yeah, I think everybody had that first issue because Marvel was just giving it away.
Oh, my gosh.
So I want to thank our sponsor, Super Pro was just so amazing, I can no longer speak. Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from your past so you can look rad today. GameStop, power to the players, and Gamefly, video games delivered. Please take a moment to leave us a review on your podcast service of choice. We appreciate it. Drop us a line. Yes.
We are a month away from Extra Life.
I know, I was going to get to it.
Okay, cool, never mind.
Let me finish my pre-written spiel.
Awkward smile.
Also, drop us a line on Facebook and Twitter. We'd love to hear from you. And as Darren so rudely pointed out, we are a month away from Extra Life, where we will be playing video games for 24 hours to raise money for Children's Miracle Network through the Extra Life organization. We have amazing prizes to give away for donors, which you can find where, Darren?
DTKpodcast.com.
/Extra Life?
Well, no, just click on the Extra Life button.
Oh, just click on the Extra Life button.
When,
okay.
When we redesigned the website, they wouldn't let us do the /Extra Life anymore because of reasons.
Ah, yes. Yes. Okay, so geekcavepodcast.com. Click the Extra Life link. Darren, is there anything else I'm forgetting about Extra Life?
Sorry, Justin.
No, seriously, did I forget anything?
Some of the prizes include your fantastic sketch work.
Thank you.
And, of course, we're going to be continuing to do streams on our Twitch channel, which, if you go to our Extra Life landing page, you'll find it, the embedded player right there.
Yay!
Otherwise, we hope that we do it on time.
Yes. And I hope in these trying times that we can at least raise some money for the kids. You know, not trying to guilt the listeners or anything, but, you know, it's for the kids.
Yeah.
The poor, sick kids. Kids who want nothing more than to run free in the sunshine. In the eyes of...
Dang it, Chad, I was going to do that.
Oh. I'm getting my wallet now, Chad, okay? Don't forget to listen to the gaming and movie segments as well as our other shows. You want me to watch what? Geek Cave Chats and on our YouTube channel, Geek Cave Plays and Retromantics. There's a good one up, folks. Trust me. And now here's your out of context comic panel. We see Jimmy Olsen. He's laying on a couch in an apartment wearing what appears to be a Superman costume or Superman pajamas. I'm not sure. In the background, we see Superman standing in front of, and this is labeled, Superman's souvenirs. And he's thinking to himself, now's my chance. I'll use this heavy rope from among my souvenirs to tie up Jimmy. For Kent, Darren, and Chad, I'm Justin, and this has been the Wonderful World of Comics, and remember, everybody's a geek for something.